The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everybody to our service of morning prayer today. And also a very special word of welcome to all who are visiting us, all who are back for the first time, to all who are joining us now on our live stream, and those who'll be joining us later by telephone to listen in later. We're delighted to have everybody with us wherever you are this morning. It's lovely to have you with us to worship together. Today is Vocation Sunday, and that's a Sunday when we think about God's call on our lives. And we'll be doing that today using a video that's made by our diocese to help us just to think about what God's call on our lives might be. It may be doing what we always do, and it may be sometimes a call to change direction, and it may be a call to consider new things or new possibilities. And also today in our service, in our Bible reading, we're going to be thinking about difficult topics. We're going to be thinking about mercy and forgiveness. And that will be the theme of our Bible reading today and our teaching later on in the service. I have a few reminders to give people, especially if you're here for the first time or if you haven't been back in church. And the first one is to ask you please just to stay in your seat at the end of the service until the steward indicates that you can leave. There are a few unusual things in church at the moment if you're used to coming to church. One of those is that at the present time, we don't have a collection as we normally do. But for those who don't give electronically, there is a basket at the back if people wish to make a free will offering. And there's no obligation to do so. But if you wish to, there is a basket at the back of the church. Also, can we please ask everybody to ensure that you gave your name and your telephone number to a steward on the way in? That's really important to us for traceability purposes. So please ensure that that has happened if you didn't do that on the way in. And the other unusual thing at the moment is that there's no singing during our service. But the words of the hymns will appear on a screen, and we will be able to use the hymns as an opportunity to reflect and to be still, and to just allow God to speak into our hearts through the music that we hear. There are a few notices for the week that is to come. On Tuesday evening at 6:30, the Select Vestry will be meeting over Zoom. And on Wednesday afternoon, many people will be sorry, if you haven't already heard, to hear of the death of Dr. Roddy Evans. And Roddy's funeral will take place here, obviously, in very restricted circumstances at the present time. But if people do wish to attend in a virtual kind of way, we hope to be able to live stream the funeral. And if people would like to pay their respects in that way, you just tune into the St. Finian's YouTube channel, and the service will be happening at 2:00 on Wednesday. Wednesday night is our online Alpha course, and we're about to begin week 3, so there is still time. If you haven't ever taken part, and maybe you've got questions about life and you'd like to have the opportunity to explore those, we do have an Alpha course that's happening, and you just send an email to the parish office. The email is on our parish website or on the Facebook page. And you'll get a link to join the Zoom call, and you'll also get a link to the video that we watch on the evening. And everybody is very welcome. That happens between 8 and 9 on Wednesday evenings, so it's just an hour on Wednesday evenings. And Thursday night is our prayer meeting. And again, you can email the office, and you'll get a link to join via Zoom for our prayer meetings on Thursday evenings. And that takes place at 7, and it usually lasts for about 35 or 40 minutes. Our service is next Sunday, our morning prayer at 11:00 and evening prayer at 7. But as we come into God's presence today on this Vocation Sunday, and we lift up our hearts to worship him, our opening hymn is a hymn of praise and thanksgiving. O worship the King, all glorious above.
Oh, worship the King, our glorious.
Our service this morning is the service of morning prayer.
Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. So let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading this morning is from the Gospel according to St. Matthew in the 18th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. And in this reading, we hear Jesus tell a parable or a story all about mercy and forgiveness. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, cancelled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I cancelled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." And in response to our reading, we're going to hear a canticle this morning, verses 1 to 7 of the Canticle Veniti.
We're going to stand together to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Today is Vocation Sunday, and in our special collect prayer, we hear a prayer for the ministry of all Christian people, whatever they do in their daily lives. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of the Church is governed and sanctified, hear our prayer, which we offer for all your faithful people, that in their vocation and ministry they may serve you in holiness and truth, to the glory of your name, through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And our collects for morning prayer. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Today, as I mentioned, is Vocation Sunday. It's a Sunday when we consider what God's call on our lives might be. And for many of us, that's maybe a call to care for people or to support people at home. Maybe it's a call to work in a certain area or position. Or maybe it's a call to be a person of prayer for those who we know who are going through difficult times. But for some people, there may be a call also to serve God through the ordained ministry. And on this Vocation Sunday, we're going to now take the opportunity just to hear a couple of people share their experience of the call of God on their lives. If you just take a look at the screen.
I love what G.K. Chesterton says. It's sort of my go-to quote. He says, "The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried." You know, and I think that's the case for ministry as well. Like, if you want an easy ride, it's not for you. Not certainly if you want to be preaching the gospel, living for God's truth, seeing people discipled and grow. It's not easy, but it's such a privilege.
My name's Dave Thomas. I'm a member of St John's Church in Orangefield, in Belfast, in Castlereagh Road, East Belfast. And I'm married to Rachel. She's a pharmacist, and we have three daughters. There's been times where people have sort of have asked me the question, "Have you ever considered ordination?" So first was my vicar back in my church in England when I was about 17. I came back from Soul Survivor, which is a kind of a summer youth festival, and I was really sort of fired up about faith and really excited about what I'd learned there. I was having, probably about 4 years ago now, I was having a chat with one of my friends in Belfast, and he again asked me that question, and I gave him the same answer. And he kind of challenged me on it and said, well, you do not think that's quite a strange answer to that question, that it's something that you would love to do? Why would you love to do that? And he challenged me and said, you know, do you think that maybe there's a chance that it's something God's putting on your heart, and that's why you kind of give that answer? And it was the first time I'd ever thought of it that way, and really just as he said that to me, something kind of clicked, and I began to seriously consider it, and went home and talked to my wife about it, and sort of that really began a process of me more seriously praying and thinking about it and talking to friends and talking to people that I knew, and other ministers. I talked to my rector at my church at the time, and people were really encouraging and said that, you know, this is something I should pursue.
When I was a teenager, I probably first sensed God calling me to ordained ministry, but I didn't know what to do with that call, didn't know if I was hearing God right, and so did what most 18-year-olds do and headed off to university, where I got very caught up in my own grand plans to work as a global ethicist. But when I'd graduated, I heard God calling me to ordained ministry in a way that I could not ignore. That sense of call then was accompanied by the encouragement of others, and as I read scripture, I felt scripture affirming that call in me.
It was actually, I became a Christian when I was 13 at a camp, it was just the preacher said something, you know, it's, you can't really find it in the Bible, but it's the idea that even if you'd been the only person alive, you know, Jesus would have died for you, and the rush of making that personal just made me respond and give my life to Christ. And I became Christian 13 in Wicklow, at the Avoca Manor in Wicklow. You know it. I remember just sharing it with, there were 200 people at that camp, all my mates and a whole lot of other people. And I remember sharing it on this particular evening. And from there on in, I always felt like I wanted to share about Jesus. But I never really truly believed I would become a Church of Ireland minister. I don't think that was ever in my kind of program. And it was actually a time where I was getting sort of a little bit disillusioned with church and all that sort of stuff. And I went on a mission team in the year 2000. And it was in the midst of that mission team, I really heard the Lord say that he was calling me into the Church of Ireland ministry. And, you know, I was a pretty young man, still at school, and my rector, who's now the minister in the neighbouring parish, Mark Harvey, he said to me, Simon, just think about this really carefully, because I sort of was sharing it with all these Africans, anybody who'd listen. And he was like, think about it really carefully, do something else, consider it and all. But, you know, I went through Strumillis University, trained as a teacher and all that sort of stuff, but always it was just, the Lord was just saying, called to ministry, called to ministry, called to ministry. So I did teach for one whole day, made all the kids cry, too strict. But then I just knew from that moment on, it never really deviated. I mean, I definitely, you know, my walk with the Lord, you know, it wasn't always straightforward, you know, I let him down, come back to him and all that sort of stuff. But the one thing that I never really deviated from was knowing that I was called to be a church leader. And no one was called to be a church leader in the Church of Ireland. It was just sort of always there and inescapable.
So the deacon year is a bit of a mixed bag. You do a week a month in college and you do the rest of the time in parish. It's an opportunity to get to know a parish and a place a little bit more than you would on a short-term placement. It's an opportunity to get to exercise some gifts that you may have sort of had a chance to explore along the way. An opportunity to work closely alongside a rector and a ministry team, and an opportunity to explore what God has in store for you now you've begun life as an ordained minister.
So the option to do to study part-time means that you do one weekend a month, so it's like a Friday to a Sunday, and then you have kind of assignments around that. So it means that you can do it whilst you're working. which really seemed to be the only way that I could have done it, really, because with three daughters, it's something that to kind of uproot everybody and move to Dublin and all of that just seemed sort of too big, whereas this allows me to continue in my current job and to study, and then when I get to the point of being a curate, then, you know, the sort of that seems like the kind of the next step. And I think the children are a lot happier about that because it's kind of 4 years down the road, and doesn't seem such an enormous change for them straight away.
I think if you are sensing a call to ordain ministry, it's not something you should explore alone. God places us in community, and the church is the body of Christ. So talk to people you know and trust, and talk to people who know you and are willing to call out gifts in you, to point you in the right direction, and maybe name things about yourself, name gifts that you may have that you aren't otherwise aware of. And you can only do that discernment in community. We as a church discern together those who we believe are called to ordain ministry.
I think what I would say to my younger self would be, amongst a whole lot of other warnings, you know, I think I might say, you know, just keep your eyes on the privilege to what you're being called into. You know, when you feel the enemy trying to like take your eyes off it or deviate you to other passions or other pleasures or whatever. You know, what you're being called into is so, 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 so beautiful. And I'm not a person that elevates ordained ministry above all ministries, because I think every job, you know, we can be fishers of men if we're fishermen, you know, and I think every job, you know, we can seek out God's purposes for those jobs. But to just be called into the privilege of doing this full time and carrying people's burdens and cares and caring for people's souls full time, I think I would say to my younger self, just don't take your eyes off that. Don't moan about an essay you have to do, just do it. Don't moan about a course you have to overcome, just do it. Don't moan about having to visit that awkward person, just do it. I mean, just do it, because wow, like what a beautiful thing to do, to just be Jesus for people. Like what an unbelievable calling and privilege.
So if taking a little look at that has stirred up anything in you, and you ever want to drop me an email or to give me a phone call, we'd love to be able to pursue it further with anybody who might feel something stirring within them as a result of that on this Vocation Sunday. But all of Vocation Sunday is really about ordinary people, wherever we are, building the kingdom of God, wherever it is that we happen to be. And that's the theme of our next hymn, which we're going to hear.
Thank you.
the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when we try to read the Bible and to understand it, we complain that it's too hard to grasp and it has no relationship with our lives at all. But this morning's gospel reading can't be accused of these things. In fact, my problem with this morning's reading is that it's way too real, and what it's asking of me is very difficult. You see, this morning's gospel is all about mercy and forgiveness. And throughout this chapter, which we began to look at in recent weeks in Matthew chapter 18, Jesus gives this series of teachings about forgiveness and mercy. And certainly, they're challenging things to hear. And they're challenging because we all tend to be quite selective on who or what we deem to be deserving of forgiveness. And in a complex world, the reality is that not everyone has been born equal. If, for example, you've had the best of educational opportunities, it's unlikely that you'll need to steal to survive. Or if you've grown up in a nice neighborhood with both parents encouraging you all throughout your life, you're quite likely to believe that you can do whatever you'd like to pursue in terms of your career. Or if you've never been abused because of the color of your skin or your religious background, you're much less likely perhaps to engage in that kind of behavior yourself. But the reality is that there's so much darkness and hatred at work in our world at the present time. And it is hard for Christians to know how best to respond. And the easiest thing, or maybe our default position, is to line up all the ducks in terms of how we react and speak about these things. The bad people we believe are the ones who are different to ourselves, whether we deem them to be mad Muslim fundamentalists or drug-fueled teenagers or power-mad despots who don't care what happens in terms of world peace and security. And we usually come then to our own conclusions and judgments. And then Jesus tells us one of those stories of his that tends to knock us for six. And he speaks this story this morning in answer to Peter's question about forgiveness, a question that I would believe probably every one of us who are listening into this service this morning or are here in the church building, most of us have asked this question at least once in our lifetimes. How much is enough when it comes to forgiveness, Lord? When our partner has an addiction and lies to us yet again, or when our employees have stolen from the company, or when our children seem to throw back in our face the opportunities that we've worked so hard to create for them, how much is enough? When do you draw that line in the sand and walk away and not feel guilty that you should have tried harder? Peter tries to quantify it and to be generous in his response or his approach to the question. But he got no reassurances and certainly no congratulations from Jesus. Instead, he was told in no uncertain terms that when it comes to mercy and forgiveness, there are no limits. And on many levels, when we hear that story and we hear that response from Jesus, we would think, well, you know, that's probably the very opposite of good news, if the gospel is supposed to be good news. But it's only when we go a little deeper that we see
that this story Jesus tells us is, in fact, good news. As we hear this story of a man who had an impossibly enormous debt to repay, somewhere in the region of £2.4 million in modern money, if my commentaries are accurate. That's the sort of money that he owed to his debtor. And when someone owes so much and the threat is hanging over them and their family of being thrown into prison, there's really only one thing to do, and that's to beg for mercy. And the begging for mercy on the grounds that the debt will be repaid, well, that's, of course, total nonsense. It would have taken this man literally many hundreds and hundreds of years to earn enough to repay the enormous debt that he had run up. And yet, in an amazing act of grace and forgiveness, the king wipes out the debt with a stroke of his pen. And the blessed recipient of such grace ought to be jumping for joy, but instead, he goes out and immediately spots an unfortunate fellow servant who owes him a few pounds. And as the fellow servant pleads in a similar way for mercy and that all will be repaid, this man is having none of it, and he throws his fellow servant into prison until the debt is repaid. And then all the other fellow servants report this behavior, and the original debtor is thrown into prison for life. And what's at the very heart of this story for me, as I think of some of the things that I find hard to forgive, and there are many, is how important it is to appreciate whenever we ourselves have been truly forgiven. This man who was freed from his huge debt seems to have thought that he got away with it, and then he was free to do just as he wanted. And I suspect that in many ways, we tend to do something similar in our own lives. We take for granted the mind-boggling gift of God's love and forgiveness, most powerfully shown on the cross at Calvary. And we adopt the mindset that somehow we deserve it and some others don't. The liars, the cheats, the people who hurt us, the people who plant suicide bombs, people who vandalize churches, whatever it is that your particular sin is that you don't like, they don't deserve it. But the gospel tells us another truth. It doesn't say that God so loved you that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And the world, when I last looked at it, not only included me, but also those who I might believe to be my enemies, those who might view things differently to me. And it is really only as we come to the cross that we begin to appreciate how much we have been forgiven, and to rejoice that such forgiveness is actually available to all, even those that we might consider our enemies. And so my prayer for all of us today is that we would be filled with God's Spirit as we try to invite Jesus in more and more into our lives, even into those areas of mercy and forgiveness that every single one of us find so painful and difficult. It doesn't take long to remember those who have wronged us. And so, as we think of these things and the challenge that Jesus sets before us in this powerful, powerful story this morning, let us pray. Lord, we want to thank you on this Vocation Sunday for the call that you make on all of our lives to live for you. Whatever it is that we do in our daily lives, help us to do it for you and for your glory. We thank you for the simple call and privilege to follow you in our daily lives. And we pray for that capacity to forgive others and to show mercy, even when we believe people don't deserve it. Help us whenever we struggle with these things. And we ask that we would allow your Holy Spirit to help us. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray for governments around the world as they make important decisions to reduce the spread of the virus. We pray that they would be able to communicate with clarity, and we pray that you would help us to heed their advice, even when it goes against our wishes or instincts. We pray for all today who are affected by the bushfires in California and Oregon and in the United States. We pray for all firefighters and all who are trying to keep their families safe and who have to evacuate their homes in the current dangerous situation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We pray today for all who are homeless in our world. We pray for our local Simon Hostel on the St. Field Road, for all the residents and staff. And we pray for the isolation that so many people are experiencing as they quarantine or self-isolate. And we pray for all who are trying to offer help through supportive phone calls or helplines. And today we pray particularly for all who man the phones for the Samaritans at this time, a time of anxiety, a time of loneliness, a time of crisis for so many people. And as we pray this morning, we also remember those who are bereaved, as we pray especially for the family and friends of Roddy Evans. And we pray, Lord, for your comfort and your support and your encouragement to them at a time of sad loss. And so, in a moment of quietness, let us bring before the Lord any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to this service today. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is a hymn that reminds us of God's mercy towards us as we sit and we listen to the words of the hymn, "When all thy mercies, O my God." Just before our final blessing, could I just remind people, please, just to remain in your seats until a steward will indicate that you can leave. And we ask people, please, as you leave the church, just to make your way out to either the lawn or towards the car park, where you can have a conversation at social distance, just so we don't clog up the entrance. If you could just please abide by those things, we'd be really grateful for your help. We bow our heads for God's blessing as we prepare to go out into the week that is to come. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.